We are officially at On Three. We're happy to be home. Come on, guys. Put it together. Let's go. Put our hands together here. Very excited. Very excited to be joining On Three. Obviously, loved everything we did at the Daily Wire. Really appreciative of them. But super excited about the future. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We may be at 200K by the time you hear this. But just really appreciative. But we're going to get to the game. You can go to social media and find out all that stuff. Because we had an absolute banger. And thank goodness the football gods gave us, and I'm not saying the Miami A&M game was bad. I'm a defensive guy. It was 10-3, but they gave us a fantastic game, kind of a tale of two different halves. But Miami, yes, Miami, it is all about the U, finds a way to take out the defending national champion, Ohio State. And it was a hell of a game. And there's a ton to get to. David Cone, former Michigan quarterback. Blaine Crane, former Western State, Colorado wide receiver. And guys, before we get into the nitty gritty of this and, you know, look at the statistics and this, that, or the other, I just want a 30,000 foot view of this thing. Because from what I saw, even in the second half, when Ohio State came out, punched Miami back, they were able to run the ball, which obviously calmed Julian down. That's why he was able to complete the passes and kind of opened up in the back end. I am so impressed with Miami at the line of scrimmage on both sides. A lot of people will talk about Bain. They'll talk about Mezidor, and they should. But this offensive line from Miami, it's like a Wendy's with all the amazing combos they have when you look at this zone scheme run game. And it's not just that they're huge, David. It's that they're huge and they can move their feet. There's a lot of big-ass offensive linemen out there. But when you communicate the way they do, when you've gelled the way that they have, but you have the ability to move your feet, it's like a big guy in basketball. The better you can move your feet, the better you play defense, the better you're able to score, you have more moves. I am so impressed at Miami on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. I think that's the story at the end of the day here.
Man, what a football game. You said you want a 30,000-foot view. This thing took me back to 2002. I remember being in Belgrade, Florida, watching that national championship game between Miami and between the Buckeyes. I was really falling in love with college football at that time, and this was sort of another hallmark edition of that game tonight. And there were so many things we hit on in our preview that I'm hoping people were able to catch up on. Like one, for instance, Bain and Mezidor. I was interested to see if they'd line them up on the same side, to your point, talking about Miami's front four there. The very first third down, they get home on a blitz. Both of those guys are getting home because they were lined up on the same side with Mezidor at the three technique. And it wasn't just them. I mean, if you're a Miami fan, you got to be so proud of this team going into College Station, winning in the fashion that they did, and then being able to knock off the defending champs here tonight. Everyone on that defense was flying around, and really Carson Beck, to me, looked like he understood the assignment, particularly in the first half. Great and quick game, taking free release, taking what the defense gave him, and then that run game, which Miami has not been great on the ground this season, but Fletcher just coming up huge in both of these college football playoff games. I got to tip the hat to the Miami Hurricanes, man.
Yeah, and Blaine, you know, we were texting back and forth. You know, I don't want to oversimplify things, but you don't have to be John Madden to figure out that if you can get pressure with four and you don't have to rob Peter to pay Paul in the back end, that is, to me, comparable to a quarterback having a run game in that it allows you to open up so many more things. It allows you to not only be balanced, but to be able to do things in the back end and mix coverages and show pressure, simulated pressure, and not have to bring it. Ohio State couldn't get there with four. That was the biggest difference in this game, not just on the ground. Ohio State had to manufacture pressure. Miami did not have to manufacture pressure. They were born being able to bring pressure with four. And if you're Corey Heatherman, the defensive coordinator at Miami, and I'm not trying to take – I'm not having to trying to throw strays at Minnesota here. They've got a couple guys that can do it typically. But going from Minnesota's personnel on defense to Miami's is like going from a slingshot to an AK-47. It's got to be so much fun calling defenses when you have those things running around up front. And that's not to mention the physicality of the back end too. Miami and Ohio State, it was a very physical game. But this is what it must have felt like to watch Miami when they were knocking people's teeth through the back of their throat and then telling them about it. This was one of the most physical games that I have seen all year, and we deserve that in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I tweeted this. I think I'm falling in love with the college football playoff.
You don't fall in love easy. You're a hard guy to fall in love.
Look, I know it's New Year's, but I might have to just break her the news. I hope she's ready for it. I want people to think about what that Miami team looked like last year, right? Especially in the secondary. Y'all couldn't tackle Jake in the open field. He used to
have. Look, I'm shit.
Remember, hey, he's an offensive lineman back in the day, if you want to believe that. And not only were they tackling, especially one-on-one tackling from the safeties, right? They were coming down with a problem, right? With a vengeance, like something from Ohio State did something to. But I will say this. One player I was extremely critical of before this game started was Carson Beck. All right, and after I saw, when I saw him pregame, it didn't, the confidence didn't fill my body. He really didn't look ready. But I tell you what, on third downs, when big plays were needed, David, you brought this up. It wasn't Carson Beck's arm, right? It was his movement in the pocket, right? Being a veteran quarterback, being there before, not only taking the checkdowns, but escaping that third and 12 that he got with his feet, that third and 4 that he got with his feet.
Dude.
That guy was ready.
Where's that Carson Beck been?
Yeah.
If you're a Miami fan, all right, you can go ahead and this is 100% true against any other team that you're going to play in the college football playoff. You can get home with 4.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, football is a math problem, right? It's where you want to put your pieces.
It's geometry.
And it's a math problem. Yeah. And with those two guys, with the linebackers and secondary playing like that, I'm telling you, hey, the college football playoff committee got it right. Thank God.
Yeah, I don't want to dive too far down this rabbit hole. Yes, they did, but I don't think you should sit here and say that Notre Dame shouldn't have got in because Miami whipped Ohio State's ass up front. Like, to me, it makes me think Notre Dame should have got in even more.
I wanted Notre Dame in.
Yeah, right? I know you did. I just want to make sure.
Because
in the comments, that'll take off like a wildfire. And also, Blaine, I appreciate you taking my compliment to the Miami defense and somehow turning that into an insult against me. I appreciate that.
That was
some great mental gymnastics you put on.
A real Christian Bell, Hugh Jackman situation.
Yeah. Well, and Cone, to Blaine's point, though, and there's a couple things. This game, from a play calling and personality standpoint, from Carson Beck and Shannon Dawson, was the exact opposite of what we saw against A&M. Let me ask you this, David. We'll play a little pop quiz game. How many trick plays did Miami run tonight?
Didn't see many.
Not one.
Didn't see many.
Not one.
Hold
I'd
on.
Be willing to bet you my bottom dollar.
One double pass.
One double pass. That was it.
Hold on.
And I'm trying to remember when that was.
One double pass. I think it was in the first half.
I don't think they did a double pass, right? I think their first touchdown, if you want to consider that a trick play, where for some reason the Ohio
that
State
wasn't a trick play. Well,
Carson
maybe Carson faking quarterback
powers. Power, yeah. And they sent Mark Fletcher out. They ran that in the NFL.
I don't think so. I think they were just getting leverage into the boundary there.
Well, they ran the wheel twice in important downs. The
yeah.
touchdown and then the third down conversion to the backup running back after they came out, I think, in that cluster setter. Y'all call it bunch, whatever dumb way y'all
it's
call
bunch.
It. In that cluster set to the boundary. But
it's cluster if it's bunched out wide.
Okay.
Thank you, David.
I thought y'all just called that wide bunch. Anyways, when you look at the mentality of this game offensively, not that Miami didn't try and run it against A&M, and they had success running it against A&M, and they had success late, which I think tells you more about this Miami team than anything. Now in two of the biggest games of their lives, they've been able to run the ball when they had to late in the game. That's a mentality in its own. But I would be willing to bet there was a conversation between Mario Cristobal and Shannon Dawson that said, we cannot sit here and keep trying to trick people. We are a downhill, quick game team that will take shots deep with play action. But to that point, David, Miami didn't throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
They didn't throw it deep. And that first drive with Carson Beck, he looked shaky, bud. He looked shaky. That first check down to the running back looked like he'd never thrown a ball before in his life. He was late on the other one across the middle. But I think the defense gave him confidence. I think the defense gives this team swagger. And I have never seen – it's not like Carson Beck just became Lamar Jackson or anything tonight. No.
No.
But the way he ran the ball,
yeah.
the aggression with that he ran the ball with, and what did we say when he was – if you go back and you watch Crane and Company when Carson Beck was at Georgia, what is the only way that Carson Beck can be effective running the ball? Escaping where? Up through the pocket. That's what he did all night. He understood who he was, to your point. He understood the assignment. And when he got there, that was the most violent version of I think it shocked Ohio State's tacklers. I think on that third down, they were shocked.
Yeah.
Because if you look, you had a high tackle, you had a low tackle. But I think it was the DB that hit him was really high, thinking maybe he was going to slide. And I have to take myself off of this so I don't give a penalty. I'm just so overwhelmingly impressed with not only what Miami is, but who they are. And I think that was the reason they found a way to win tonight, because at the end of the day, It ain't got to be pretty. It's just got to work. But there's a beauty in whipping somebody's ass up front. And that Miami offensive line was pushing the defensive line. If you played linebacker for Ohio State tonight, Cone, that had to be miserable because you were basically getting a lap dance from your defensive lineman every time they snapped the ball when they were in 11 or in 12.
Well, look, we've been saying for a while that when you have guys like Bain and Mesidor on the same defensive front, that's going to keep you in almost every football game you could possibly play throughout the season. And a lot of people forget there's a reason this team was number two in the country earlier in the year, right? But then lost two out of three in the middle. Then they started to slip when they needed it most in College Station. They gave the football to Mark Fletcher Jr. And he went and won the game for him. And we all challenged Carson Beck and said, where's the guy that you paid $4 million plus to get him to transfer from Georgia? Where's that guy who can actually be a difference maker? And that's who we saw tonight. And if you just look at the box score and you pull up 19 of 26, 138 yards, so what? I'm saying he was so effective in the quick game that that's why he understood the assignment. And you talking about not airing the ball deep, that's what I was seeing in the third quarter. I was writing that down in my notes. I'm like, don't go back to that. Take the free release that you were given, and he was doing that again in the fourth quarter. But if it was just Carson Beck playing better and they couldn't get the ground game going like they did against Texas A&M, I think they lose this game. They needed everything. Everything that Miami threw at the Buckeyes, they needed in order to beat the defending champs. And again, another thing we said in our preview, if you're going to bracket Malachi Toney, who needs to show up? I told you guys, C.J. Daniels needs to have a big game. What, five receptions, over 50 yards? Every single one of them was huge to keep those chains moving and to help Miami win time of possession.
And, you know, the cushion that Ohio State was playing with, too. I just think Carson took what they gave him.
I just don't think they thought Carson Beck would go 12, 13, 14 plays like that.
He did. He just – because, again, the two most greedy people that I know are quarterbacks and offensive coordinators. But Miami, that's who Mario Cristobal is. That style of play, we talk about the best teams adopt the identity of their head coach. That was who Mario Cristobal is. That game that you saw right there – it's not bombs over Baghdad. It's not what you saw last year. That's not really, and I love Cam Ward, and he's fantastic. But there's a reason this team is now moving on once again in this playoff. And Blaine, you know, to Cone's point, I'm sitting here looking at the numbers. You know, Jeremiah Smith did have seven catches for 157 yards and one touchdown. But nobody else pissed a drop. Carnell Tate had three catches for 37. Yeah. You didn't let anybody else beat you. Jeremiah Smith is going to get his. You held Bo Jackson to 55 yards on 11 carries. He did have the touchdown. That first drive in the second half was big. But when you look at Miami, and I want to ask you about Brian Hartline not calling the plays. Now, I say that in the first half, I don't think if Moses called the plays, it would have worked with the way that Miami was operating up front.
He had a pretty good playbook.
Like he did have a pretty good playbook. You know, he has 40 years of experience working the playbook. You don't have a run game, it's not going to work. And it didn't in the first half. In the second half, the reason Julian was able to start cooking a little bit was because of that run game, which led to the balance, and that's the Ohio State we've seen all year. I just don't understand. I always think about it in my shoes. If I was Ryan Day, Brian Hartline, if you're not going to call the plays, and I'm not saying it's Brian's fault, then your ass can go to South Florida. We'll just why are you here?
I was surprised too.
Yeah,
like you've called the plays all year. Lane Kiffin's not even the head coach at Ole Miss anymore, but they at least have half the guy that were calling the plays that are there. Like, well, why would you? That's so dumb to me. It's so dumb to me. You got that job because of here. So if you're going to be here, you're going to call the plays. I didn't understand that.
I love when you ask a question, then answer it. It's one of my favorite things just to sit here and hear. It's a fantastic answer, by the way. No, I agree with you. You know, if you're not going to call the plays. And I was so sick of hearing, to be honest. Well, you know, they haven't played in 25 days, guys. They haven't
What are you going to forget?
25 days. You know, the other teams you got to buy, what are they, 0-4 or some crazy stat. Look, you're about to go play Miami in the Cotton Bowl, one of the biggest games of your life. If you're not ready for this, then, brother, you need to pick another sport or maybe pick up painting. I don't know. But I will say this. It makes no sense to me.
What is our situation, Dad?
Yeah, zero sense to me why you would have Brian Hartline call the entire season right? Well, Ryan Day called games 5 years ago. That doesn't matter. Call the entire season. Get his flow with a young quarterback who's never been on this stage before. And then all of a sudden, when Brian Hartline gets a USF job, hey, you can stay, but look, I'm going to call plays now. It's like walking into incoming traffic. It's not going to work. You can dodge the first couple cars, but I promise you, sooner or later, one's going to catch you, and they look like that in the first half. But I will say this, Jake, and I agree with you again. It didn't matter. Julian Sain, why these other receivers didn't get any work? Because Julian Sain was running for his life for four quarters.
Mm-hmm. He can't run.
For four quarters, it didn't matter. If Miami could bring three, they were bringing three people, and Julian Sain didn't have 3 to 4 seconds to throw the ball. That's the difference. And you can't run the ball, which I don't think Ryan Day did enough of. In the first half,
I agree with that 100%.
Quarterback, you saw what they did on the first drive when they came out. You have to get downhill on this Miami team to beat them. You're not going to beat them out wide. It just doesn't work like that. But a lot of weird things by switching play callers before a game like this.
Well, and it's wild because if I would have told you, and this is why college football is amazing, if I would have told you before the game that Malachi Toney had 5 catches for 16 yards and Jeremiah Smith had 7 for a 157 and a touchdown, we all would have said Ohio State won. They 100% won. But that's just not the way it works. That's why it's hard to project games when you get to this point in the season when so much talent is running around on the field. And, you know, we always say, and I think it's true, and it's not sexy, but it's true, most teams lose games, they don't win them. Now, I'm not saying Miami didn't win this game. They did. They were the aggressor in this fight. But who made the mistakes? Mm-hmm. Who missed the field
and
goal?
And special teams as well, Jake.
Yeah. Hey, that 5 yard, that alignment penalty cone.
20 yards difference in field position. And you missed a field goal for the Buckeyes.
And you threw a pick six.
And the punt for Miami downing it at the 2. I was thinking about you as a special teams coordinator. Downing it at the 2, just an absolute thing of beauty there over in the Coffin Corner. But regardless of who was calling plays for the Buckeyes and who wasn't calling plays, that unit has let them down these past 2 games. I mean, if I'm the Buckeyes on defense, you lost this, 24-14, and 7 of that's on the pick 6. Mm-hmm. So really you gave up 17 points, which I don't think the Buckeyes have given up 20-plus points all season. I mean, if you're Matt Patricia's unit on the defensive side of the ball, I don't know how much better you want me to do than that. And the Big Ten championship game was, 13-10, Indiana beat you? Yeah. That side of the ball just let them down. But I wanted to say one more name, Keontae Scott. We got to talk about. Yeah. And it wasn't just the pick
Auburn
six. I know that he had the biggest play in the game with the pick six, but he was flying around making tackles. How about the end around to Jeremiah Smith? He's hawking him down from the other side of the field. That entire defensive unit from Miami came to play, and it showed, man.
Without a doubt. And, you know, games are built on big moments. And I want to, you know, the third downs that Miami was able to convert, and it wasn't like they were converting them by 10 to 12 yards past the first down marker. I mean, there was multiple times where Miami, and to be honest with you, I don't know how they overturned that one call to make it fourth down. And that looked like a first down to me. You can talk about his shin, you can talk about his knee, you can talk about his nasal cavity, but that was a first down to me, or at least it's not close enough to be able to overturn. So they almost had another one. It was just in those inches that we talk about that make up whether you win a game of this magnitude when there's so much talent that is out there in the field. Miami was the one that was able to do it. And then being able to lean on someone and then answer back when they punched. I personally was more impressed with Miami's first drive after Ohio State went down and scored on their first drive in the second half, being able to move the ball, than I was in any drive that Miami had, probably outside of the last one to ice it. It just, again, from the mental aspect, and David, you brought up special teams. You know how you win championships? We always say, you know, the teams that win the most ways. Well, you beat talented teams with complimentary football. And Miami's very talented. But if you look at the NFL draft, there hasn't been this many guys that are going to get drafted out of Ohio since World War II. And you beat them with complimentary football. Offense, defense, and special teams. And when one phase lets you down, the other two pick you up. That is the best compliment that I think I can give Mario Cristobal in Miami, is that they played complimentary football tonight at such a high level and didn't make mistakes. Everything Ohio State got, they earned. Every single thing.
Do you like scoring there at the end to go up 10?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll never.
100%.
I'll never be upset about that.
100%. Yeah. You can go up 10. You go up 10.
Just because, like, if you can milk the entire clock out, no. You got to go down.
No,
but
sure.
if there's going to be time left on the clock and it's a 3-point no. ball game, weird stuff can happen on one well, snap over a head, man.
Well, and you it, again, it's about the points, right? If it's tied and you're going to kick a field goal to win, some people would say you're going to bleed it out, you're going to kick it, whatever, even knee it at the one, kick it to win the game. If you're up one, where a touchdown and extra point only puts you up 8, so you're within one score, I would go down there. But 9 or more, 2 scores or more, with less than a minute, buddy, I'm going up double-digit points. You're going to have to Willy Wonka this to beat me. You're going to have to make 13 different plays in clutch moments that matter in a very small span of time. So, having said all that, to say this, Mario Cristobal managed the clock right, Blaine.
Well, whoever tells them how to manage it had a good day.
Yeah.
Right? Whoever's that guy on the clipboard with the big binder walking around the
Jonah sideline, Hill from Moneyball?
Yeah, right. Whatever their analytics guy is, he figured it out today. And the good thing, it really didn't come down to that, in my opinion. But, I mean, the one guy I was critical of in the first game, I thought Shannon Dawson did a great job.
He did a great job.
I thought he did such a fantastic job from a play calling. So I only saw one jet sweep today, which didn't work.
Well, Blaine, you know what it looked like? It looked like your head coach was an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And y'all had that talk.
Yeah. This was like a fight back in the days where the shields and spears, man.
Yeah.
That's all we get. 300.
That's exactly right.
We're going to get
which is
the
Miami football I grew up watching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be honest.
And it was, to be honest, and I'll say another thing. Although that call got overturned and I disagree with you, I thought the referees did a hell of a job today.
They let them play, man.
Let them play.
Just be consistent.
Yeah.
If you're going to let them play, let them play the whole game. I said the same thing in basketball. If it's a foul in the first half, it should be a foul in the second half. If you're going to let them play in the first half, you let them play in the second half. And that's all I ask. That's all I ask. I'm not a hard person to please when it comes to that. Just be consistent so I know what to call and what to tell the guys. That's all I need to know. The rest, we'll give it up to God, man. We'll just like me and my golf game a long time ago. I made the decision. I'm just gonna go with God. Yeah. All right. When I step on this tee box, we're just gonna see what happens.
Sometimes you got to carry Underwood and just put your hands on the wheel.
Yeah, just let them take it. Just let them take it and drive it. Anything else you guys want to add? Because to me, you know the best part about all this, not only being at On3 now for us, but you know the best part? We got 3 more of these bad boys today. And we're going to be here reacting. And I know some people last night were like, why aren't you doing an instant reaction after the show? Well, now you know the surprise.
Yeah.
They don't just happen on Christmas. But is there anything else you guys want to add before we get ready to watch these other 3 games and start reacting to them?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm very excited and honored to join you guys in this next chapter. I think it was 5 years ago this month that we met. And been going at this on air now for 5 years. Very appreciative to the Daily Wire and everyone else who's helped us along in this journey. But, man, what a wild ride. I'm excited to help you guys take this show to an entirely new audience here.
Yeah, no, there's no reason we shouldn't hit 1 million subs. No reason. Blaine. What do you want to say?
Don't lowball us.
Talk your ish.
Don't lowball us. Well, it feels like, you know, I'm in the tunnel right now, right? I'm in a tunnel. I'm about to just run out onto the field, right? They're banging music. There's fireworks going off, right? The stadium is absolutely
full. Are you spat it up?
And I'll spat it up. Different color spats, though. You best
really?
Sleeve rolls up. One sleeve on the right arm, my shooter hand. You already know what it is. Just excited about the new chapter, right? I'm about to grab my grocery cart and run into a brick wall fully. Welcome to Harry Potter.
Yeah. All right. Well, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Let's go get this thing. We got a bunch of reactions coming, a bunch of great content. Make sure you're locked into everything on 3. We appreciate you here at Crane and Cone.
Yeah.
That's right. Crane and Cone, David.
Happy
there we go, way, David. Man. Let's go, baby. Let's
be a part of it, fellas.
You've earned it. We appreciate you guys. And like the chances of me not being excited about these next 3 games and ready to talk about it with you, we're going. Gone.